and verse 33. Who did not get an axe outline? Is there someone that did not get an axe outline? I know Rebecca didn't get one. But Tony, can we get an outline for Rebecca? Layla says she didn't get one. Anybody else not get an axe outline? Faye? I get one from Miss Faye, too. Okay, amen. Okay. So we're in Acts chapter 20 and verse 33. And read with me starting in verse 33 all the way down to the conclusion. Here we go. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Amen. Father, bless now the next moments as we look at some of the words that are here, Lord, and what is going on in Paul's life and what it is that he is doing with the elders at Ephesus and how we can glean a blessing from it and speak to us in a way that we can understand and comprehend and, Lord, leave here differently than when we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable about the early churches and the operation of these churches and what they did and what went on. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Meet our need tonight, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, all right, we're studying the book of Acts here. We're at Acts chapter 20. Paul is just finishing up his long speech to the elders at Ephesus. He's about to depart. He's told them about all the things that he has done with and through them and for them, and he's explained it all. And now he's winding up and winding down with some of his own personal testimonies. And he had a testimony concerning wealth, first of all, there in verse 33. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold. Then he said also, coveted no man's apparel. And so he says, you know, my testimony concerning gold and silver or wealth, I didn't covet. When it came to apparel, he said, I've coveted no man's apparel. He said, concerning what I wear or what you wear, I was not covetous. And then we looked at this other area as well, Paul's testimony concerning work. He says down there, he said in verse 34, yea, yourselves know how that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Amen. And we talked about he was committed. He had a testimony. He was committed concerning work. He said, I don't mind getting my hands dirty. I don't mind working. And praise God, we need to raise up a generation of children that don't mind working. Amen. How many children want to be paid for their work? Mostly all of them, amen. Adults, when we were growing up, did we get paid for our work? Most of us, no. If you were fortunate, I didn't start getting an allowance until I was about 14 or 15. And I got an allowance because we helped my dad do a janitorial office building after I got out of school. And this was my schedule. I went to school from, you know, whenever to whenever. I got off and went to football practice, got off to football practice and worked at Red Lobster. I got off Red Lobster. My dad had a janitorial business where he cleaned a dentist office. I went there and worked again. I got home every night about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and then I start getting paid. I think he felt sorry for me. Amen. He said, you out this late, you need to get paid like a man. Amen. You're working like a man. But up to that point, we didn't get an allowance. We were allowed to eat. We were allowed to have a bedroom. We were allowed to have clothes. We were allowed to have shoes. That was our allowance. Am I right, Pastor White? Amen. We were allowed to have some things around the house. Talk about you didn't pay me. Boy, my mom would take us back and give us a tongue lashing out of this world. And her lectures lasted at a minimum about 15 minutes. Amen. Pastor White? Amen. That's right. And so Paul says, you know what? When it came down to this thing, I was not covetous. He said, I was committed concerning work. I didn't mind working. Amen. And then we ended up at verse 35, Paul's testimony concerning the weak. And notice what he said that in verse 35 concerning the weak. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Now, by the way, when you talk about Paul's testimony concerning the weak, he says, I was caring concerning the weak. He says, I showed you all things. You think Paul showed them how to bake a cake? Did he say, I showed you all things? about the gospel. Amen. We got to be careful with that all things. Like we study in Sunday school. I can do all things through Christ. Some folks say, well, I can't pick up this 1,000-pound rock. The Bible says I can do all things. Come on, let's be reasonable. Amen. But sometimes some folks go there. Well, I should be able to stand in front of a train. I can do all things. Yeah, and you'll get run over too. And the train can run you over. We have to be in the confines, in the context of spiritual things. Amen. When he says, I've showed you all things, it means the things that you need to know as ministers, because these are elders. I've shown you what you need to know and what you need to do so that you guys can get the job done. Amen. In other words, I've showed you all things beneficial for your spiritual life and to help others in their spiritual life as an elder, as a leader. So don't read that and say, oh, Paul showed them how to bake a cake, how to sweep a floor. And no. Amen. He said, I've showed you all things. Amen. And how so that laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And I left you with this. How he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So concerning the weak, Paul said, you know what? I was caring concerning the weak. Amen. I cared for them. And I even showed you how you ought to labor and support the weak because the Lord Jesus told me to do that. And so I left you with this. Does anyone recall reading that passage in Scripture? Not in there? Nobody remember reading that? Brother Neil, ever come across that? That's word for word? Now, here's my question then. Because we don't see it, does that mean it's not true? Because we like to say, I'm from the show me state, man. I'll tell you what, I don't see where Jesus said that. He didn't tell me to support the weak. And I don't remember him saying more blessed to give than to receive. I don't agree with that, amen. Just because we don't find it in Scripture doesn't mean it's not true, amen. Many believe this is just a paraphrase from Luke 14:12. Let's look over there real quick. Luke 14:12, because to find that word for word, you're not going to find it there. Now, is this from Luke chapter 14? We don't know. Luke chapter 14, and some believe that it's a paraphrase from this. It might be, it may not be. Luke chapter 14. And notice verse number, let's come down to verse number 12. And notice what it says here. Then said he also to him that bade him. Now, how many of y'all got a red letter Bible? Okay, so the words should be in red. So who's saying it? Jesus, okay? Notice what he says. Then said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the who? The poor, the who? The maimed, the who? The lame, the who? The blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So some think that it's a paraphrase from that. Is that true? We don't know. One thing we do know, are we familiar with the accounts of the gospel? Yes, we are. Is each gospel identical to the other gospel? No. Do some give a different description of the same account? Yes. Does that mean that they're not accurate or not true? No, that just means that John saw it through these eyes, and Luke saw it through these eyes because God didn't take away their personality and what they saw. John lists some miracles and things that none of the other ones listed. Does that mean that the other ones aren't true or the miracles aren't true? No, it doesn't. And so God is not going to give us everything. Amen. Some things we just have to take by faith and know that this is true, this is correct, and this is accurate. Amen. So although we don't have this word for word, there shouldn't be a problem. Amen. Because we look at the gospel accounts and also look at John chapter 20 and verse 30. And some of you already know where I'm going with that one. John chapter 20 and verse 30. We don't have it word for word, but that doesn't matter. John chapter 20 and verse 30. By the way, do you think that Paul wrote down everything Jesus told him? No. No more than if somebody was to dictate or talk to you, you could remember everything someone told you. But the Holy Spirit gave him exactly what he needed to write down. Amen. John chapter 20 and verse 30. Notice what he says. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. What does that say? Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written where? In this book. So it means they're not recorded. They're not documented. He says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believed in you might have life through his name. So John says, hey, look here, there's a whole lot of things that Jesus did that I didn't even write down, but I did write down what you need. And I did list what you need to know. Amen. And so when it comes to that, we cannot discount what he said. I've heard people say, well, Jesus never said that. And I don't have a record of it, so I don't believe it. That's on you. That's on you. But I can tell you this is true. Amen. Go over to John chapter 21 and verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So many other things which Jesus did. And so just because we don't find that account does not mean that that account is not accurate. Does not mean that Jesus didn't say that to Paul, because he very well could have said that to Paul. And if all fails, go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We know we have this. 2 Timothy 3:16. So y'all the home folks, y'all can turn to these scriptures. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16. And if all else fails, amen. Let's read that one there. Pastor, why you got 3:16? Wait a minute. How many scriptures, preacher? How much? Amen. And read that last verse as well. Amen. Is the gospel account scripture? Amen. So all scripture then is given by inspiration of God, or it's inspired from God Almighty. And so just because I don't have a record of it, that doesn't mean anything. Amen. I don't need to have that record there if I know it's inspired of God and it's listed in the canon of scriptures. However, we do know this. Did Jesus tell us how to give? Yes. Did he say it's better to give? Yes. Go to Acts or Luke 6:38. Preacher, that's your favorite verse. Amen. Luke 6:38. Did Jesus tell us how to give? Yes, he did. Paul said, he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Over here in Luke 6:38, Jesus told us how to give. What does the first word of verse 38 say? Give. Give. What did Paul say that Jesus said is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. How many of y'all like to receive? I do. I mean, I'll receive a cherry pie in a heartbeat. Amen. Hey, I don't mind receiving, but I sure love giving. I sure love giving. He says down there, give, and what's the other side of that? And it shall be what? Given unto you. How's it going to be given? Good measure. How else? Pressed down. And how else? Shaking together. And how else? And running over. Who's going to give? Shall men give into your bosom. God doesn't mind using people to give to you and I. Amen. Praise God. That's a blessing. I'm glad that he does. Amen. He says, shall they give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be what? Measured to you again. In other words, he said, the way you give is the way it's going to be given back to you. So what am I saying here? Jesus did say it's more blessed to give than to receive in this particular area right here. Go over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 42. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 42. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 42, again, Jesus tells us how to give. Chapter 5, and of course, this is the famous Sermon on the Mount here. And he's not telling you how to get saved, but he's telling you how saved people should act. Verse 41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And verse 42, how does it start off? Give. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So again, Jesus is showing us or telling us how to give. But since we're in the Gospels anyway, go over to Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. So not only did Jesus tell us how to give, he showed us how to give. Mark 10:45. Notice what he says here. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to what? Minister. And to what? Give his life a ransom for many. So it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus told us how to give, but then he actually turned around and not only told us, but then he showed us. He said, look, I am going to give the unthinkable myself. Amen. And so when you look at this, Paul's testimony concerning the weak, he was caring and he had a great instructor. He had a great teacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So go back to Acts chapter 20. Matter of fact, before you go there, let's stop in Ephesians 4:28. I'm sorry. Stop in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4:28. Because Paul's exhortation to the Ephesians in regards to giving was, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. But then he wrote this exhortation back to the Ephesian elders years later in regards to giving. Ephesians 4:28. And notice what he says here. Let him that stole do what? Steal no more, but rather let him what? Labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to what? Give to him that needeth. So Paul here is echoing the same sentiments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, it's good to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. He said, if you used to steal, stop stealing. But instead, start working and start giving if someone else doesn't have what you have. You don't need to steal. And so he lets him know that you don't do that. Amen. Back over to Acts chapter 20 now. And just for the next few moments, we're going to talk about another subject here during Paul's farewell speech and his testimony, Acts chapter 20. So when it came down to this, Paul said, my testimony concerning the weak, I was caring. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of Lord Jesus, how he says, more blessed to give than to receive. And then you come over here to verse number 36. It says, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and to pray with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. They accompanied him unto the ship. So after Paul gives his testimony concerning the weak, he says, I was caring concerning the weak. He ends with his testimony concerning the weeping. And he begins to talk about this weeping, and he talks about this weeping just briefly here, but he shows us the compassion that is here. He was caring concerning the weeping. By the way, I'm sure Paul, just like any other missionary, was no stranger to weeping when it came to departing from loved ones that he had labored with and poured his heart into. Think about it, parents. When children leave off and go to college, we oftentimes we cry over them when they are leaving. Oftentimes, it's tears of, well, I don't know what's going to happen with them. Sometimes it's tears of, well, you know, who's going to be out there for them? And sometimes it's just, I'm going to miss you. There's many different reasons why we cry when we leave a child or the child leaves us. And over the years, I'm sure Paul, being on this mission field, was saying goodbye over and over again. And I don't think it ever gets easy to say goodbye to someone that you pour your heart into. I don't think it gets easy. Because a part of you is in them. I remember when I had to leave Belgium over there, and man, I tell you, that was hard. I wept like a baby. Why? We were leaving at a time where we were responsible for many, many different ministries, and part of the weeping was, who's going to carry this on? Part of the weeping was, I'm never going to see Pastor Bennett or Miss Bennett again. Part of the weeping was, I'm not going to see Frank again. I could get on this plane. I could die over there, or they could die over here. I don't know what's going to happen to this ministry. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't even know who's in Tucson. I don't even want to go to Tucson. I wept over that too. Amen. I don't want to go. And so I wept a lot about leaving Belgium because I didn't want to go. My future, their future, our future. Amen. I remember when I left home for college. And man, I was all excited. I'm going to college. Yay. My dad pulled up there. We got me all settled in my room. Everything was good. And then they had to say goodbye. And man, I just lost it. I had never been away from my parents for that long before. And I'm thinking, you guys are about to leave me. I'm not going to see you until Christmas. This is August, September, October, November, December. I have no car. I have no train. I don't even have a bike. I said, y'all going to leave me? And cut me off the funds too, preacher? I cried about that too. Now I got to go out and get a job. I was no stranger to work, amen. But I cried. My baby sister was 7 years younger than me, and me and her was like that. You know, she was my brother I never had. I tried to make her my brother I never had, at least, amen. And she was growing up into a young girl, amen. And my mom and my dad, I was going to miss the lectures, but all I had to do was call home, and I got one, amen. It wasn't far away, amen. And so when I had to leave home, man, I wept. Amen. When I got married, I wept. This was the lady that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And as I saw Carmen come down, I just started weeping and crying. Her and me for the rest of our lives. I couldn't get over that. And I just wept like a baby. Mom said, "Is everything okay? You having second thoughts?" "No, I ain't having no second thoughts. Amen. I'm slap excited about this. Amen." And I wept and I cried. When it came time to getting saved, guess what I did? I wept. Why did I weep? I was empty before God. I was broken before God. I had nothing to give God. And I was absolutely ashamed of myself that I didn't have anything to give to God. And here he loved me despite all that and wanted to give me something. And I cried. I cried like a baby. Amen. Paul here, he says, you know, when it came down to it, we're about to go here. And he had thus spoken. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And after praying, says, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. There's nothing wrong with tears, and tears are biblical. There is going to be a day when God's going to wipe away the tears. And I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Tears of joy are different than tears of sorrow and sadness. Here, they're tears of sorrow and of the unexpected. They know as well they're not going to see Paul. They don't know what's going to happen to Paul. They don't know what's going to happen to them. The man that they went to often is not going to be there. There's going to come a day when I'm not going to be able to talk to my mom. I'm not going to be able to talk to my dad. I'm not going to be able to talk to Pastor Nelson. He's 94. And I'm not going to be able to pick up that phone and call him like I did a couple weeks ago. "Hey, Pastor Nelson, how you doing?" I'm not going to be able to talk to Pastor Bennett like I used to. "Hey, Pastor, how you doing?" I'm not going to be able to talk to Brother Frank here. Pastor, why didn't I just... got notified here of a girl recently that was a member of our church years back. Just died, 51 years old. 51, went into the hospital, went into a coma and died. She was a member of this church several years ago. We really don't know. We don't know. And so they're weeping over Paul leaving, and they're not seeing him anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I went full circle with weeping. From a baby, I wept too much. I was around three girls, and guess what girls do oftentimes? Cry. And so as a young boy, guess what I did when I didn't get something? Cried. And guess what parents tell you about boys that they don't do? Cry. And my mother called me the infamous word. She said, "You're a sissy." Oh! And you know what I did? I cried. "How dare you call me a sissy? I am not a sissy." Maybe I am. And so my mother sent me to the proverbial boys club, where proverbial bullies are, and people that just got out of prison and derelicts and things like that. And boys that their knuckles drag the ground. Amen. And they looked like they could come out of the ground or something like that. They were just horrible boys. And here I was, this sheltered kid down here, going to a Catholic school. Amen. And around nuns all day. And I go to the boys club. You know what I did? I cried. "I don't want to be here. Bad people here." My mother said, "Boy, if you don't get back in that boys club, man, you talk about them toughening me up. Now you talk about if I cried, they beat you up that much worse. You mama's boy." I'm not a mama's boy. I went full circle with weeping too much, to then becoming hardened and not weeping at all because you're not supposed to cry. And so I got hardened. I'm not going to cry about anything. I'm just going to be like this. Hit me with your best shot. I don't hurt. But then I got saved. And I think God began to show me a good biblical balance that there is a time to weep. Ecclesiastes says to everything there is a purpose and a time to every season under heaven. And you know what he says? A time to weep. It's a time to weep. Over in Ecclesiastes 3:4, he says a time to laugh, time to mourn, a time to dance. And one thing you won't find Paul or Jesus ever doing, and I find this very miraculous, they never wept over themselves. You never find Jesus weeping over himself, saying, "Poor me, I got to go to the cross for poor sinners." You know, the sign Paul saying, poor me, I've got to be spent for poor sinners. I've got to go over to Ephesus. I've got to be shipwrecked. I've got to go get bit by a serpent. I've got to go over here and be told off by this girl. I've got to have this confrontation with this demon-possessed girl. I've got to go be put in jail in Philippi, get my back beat off, and then I'm going to sing about it. Amen. You never find Paul weeping for himself. I wonder, how often do we weep for ourselves and have pity on ourselves? You won't find Paul doing that. Biblical weeping is awesome. It really is. You find the men of old weeping often. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And you find many others. I'll take just a few moments to show you some people that wept and why they wept. Because these situations of weeping can help you and I to regulate our weeping. Sometimes we weep just because we feel sorry for ourselves. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're a bad person if you do that. But I will tell you that's selfish. You don't find Jesus doing it. Hey, I've done it too. I've done it.
Lord, you don't care about me. If you really care, you wouldn't let this happen. Sniff, sniff.
No, I'm feeling sorry for myself. You know where that's going to get me? Absolutely nowhere. You know where that's going to get other people? Absolutely nowhere. But Paul, he did weep. Jesus wept. Give you the shortest version of the Bible, John 11:35. What does it say, Joshua? Jesus wept. Notes over there, John 11:35. Let's go over there real quick. John 35. It's a joke in our house because we used to say grace during dinner time, and mine was blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God, and everybody had their little beatitudes. And then it would come to my grandfather, and my grandfather was not the religious type. And after everybody said these long verses of scripture and blessing the food, Papa would say, Jesus wept. And we would just lose it. We'd like, Papa, can't you come up with a longer verse than that? He'd be the first one to tell you, look, I, Bertha, you pray for the food. I am not spiritual. Amen. Jesus wept. That's it. Amen. And we had to memorize these long scriptures, and he just had Jesus wept. We're like, why can't we get away with that? Papa did. They're like, he Papa, you ain't. Amen. But John 11:35, and to read that, Joshua, you there? Go ahead. Jesus wept. Why was Jesus weeping here? Anybody know the account? What's going on here? Who just died here? Lazarus. And why is Jesus weeping here? Sheep and no shepherd. And it's really twofold. Lazarus has died and he feels their sorrow, but at the same time, they don't believe he can raise him. And he wept over that. He's looking at how they did. Notice down there in verse number 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Why? He could feel their sorrow and he wept for them. But at the same time, he understood that, wait a minute, I can raise him up. And you don't believe. And so he joined in there. It says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Amen. And Jesus is not weeping for Lazarus. Lazarus don't have any problems right now. Lazarus is about to come out that tomb. He has not a problem in the world. So he's not weeping for Lazarus. He ain't got nothing to do with him. He's looking at those that are sorrowing and they don't believe that he can do this. And so his heart was moved. So you find Jesus not weeping for himself, but he's weeping for others that are weeping. What does Paul say? Weep with them that weep. Amen. And so we find here Jesus weeping over the saints here. Go over to Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 41. And Luke chapter 19 and verse number 41. We find another situation of weeping here. And Jesus is weeping not just over the saints, but he's weeping over the city here of Jerusalem. Luke 19 and verse 41. Let me get there here. Amen. And notice what it says down there in verse number 40. And he answered and said unto them, am I in the right place? Yeah, that's right. Okay. Amen. Verse 40. He answered and said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones should immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Talking about Jerusalem, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. So Jesus is not weeping for himself. He's weeping for Jerusalem and all the devastation that's going to come to the people that he loves and that he wants to save, but they would not allow it. And he wept over their plight and their disbelief and their inability to come and get from him what he needed. And so you find him weeping over the city, weeping over the saints. Let me show you one more here before we close. Luke 22 and verse 62. Luke 22 and verse 62. So Jesus wept over the saints when they were weeping. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. But then we find over here in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 62, another individual that's weeping. And in verse number 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and did what? Wept bitterly. I believe it's twofold. Number one, that he denied his Lord. But number two, he didn't believe his Lord when his Lord told him he was going to do it. And I believe Peter wept because he knew of his own unbelief. I'm a man. I've never been lost for words. But then when they ask him, do you know him? Me? Him? I don't know who that is. Never been lost for words, but this time he's lost for words. And Peter did something that we all ought to do. He wept over his sin. We ought to weep over our sin. We really ought to. And so when you look at this, Jesus wept over the saints. He wept over the city. Peter wept over his sin. We'll look at just a couple more next week before we get ready to close this chapter out and open up the next chapter. But the one thing I want us to know is that there's nothing wrong with weeping. Weeping, if it's biblically done, if it's done for the right reasons, God treasures that. He puts them in a bottle, the scriptures say. And he keeps them. Why? He knows our pain. He knew the pain when Lazarus was dying. He knows your pain when you're going through a difficulty. He understands when you're going through a hardship. He understands, he can feel. He sat there outside the tomb and they're weeping and he saw how they wept and he began to weep. Even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus up. Imagine that. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I would probably be like, what y'all crying about? Don't you know who I am? I can do this. Stand back. Jesus didn't do that. He took a compassionate moment and wept with them. I'm not like that oftentimes. I don't have that yet. I'm getting there, and I believe God is working in me that biblical balance. I don't have it yet, but God is working it. And you know how we're going to get to the point where we can have a biblical balance of weeping? God's got to take us through situations where we have to weep. And we have to view why we're weeping. And we bring that before the Lord. Lord, this is why I'm weeping. He already knows, but he wants you to know. He wants you to know. But I can tell you this. You don't find Jesus weeping over himself. You don't find Paul weeping over himself. Peter here is weeping because he let his Lord down. And there'll be some other situations we're going to look at as well that go with that. Over the next week, gauge your weeping. Gauge your weeping. What do you weep for? Why do you weep? And comfort yourself with this. Jesus knows why you're weeping. And he's concerned about why you're weeping. He cares. He looked at how they wept and he wept with them. Jesus is not immune to tears. Neither should we be. It's not for weaklings. I mean, people say, you're a weakling if you shed tears. Because you cry, you're a crybaby. Now, some people may be. But there is biblical weeping that God is pleased with and is precious in his sight. Amen. Watch your weeping pattern and regulate it. Why are you weeping? Is it what God would have you to weep over? And give it to him. Say, Lord, help me to regulate my weeping that I can be the way you would have me to be. There are certain things I should weep over and there are certain things that I shouldn't weep over. And let God direct in your life. Amen. I do pray that you we'll look at weeping from a different perspective, looking at what happened here. Now, they wept over Paul because they knew they probably weren't going to see him anymore. And the chances are they weren't and they didn't. And if you knew you weren't going to see somebody again that you love and that you cared about, you would probably weep too. I know I would. If I knew in my heart of hearts I wasn't going to see my mom anymore, I would weep. If I knew I wasn't going to see my dad, I would weep. If I knew I wasn't going to see Pastor Bennett or Pastor Nelson, I would weep. If I knew I wasn't going to see Brother Baldwin, I would weep. I know I wasn't going to see my wife, my children, I would weep. And that's exactly what they did. You've been a part of our life, Paul. You've been with us for 3.5 years. You brought us to Christ. You've trained us. You've told us how to live this life, and we're not going to see you anymore. And they wept about that. Nothing wrong with tears. Nothing wrong at all. Father, thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for the trip that you have taken me on when it comes to my own tears and some things that I've learned along the way. Lord, I'm still in training right now, and I do pray that you might continue to work in me a biblical balance of weeping, that I may know exactly what it is I ought to weep for and over and what I ought not. And God, give me the wisdom to know and the heart of compassion like you had to weep with them that weep and to rejoice with them that rejoice. Thank you for the biblical pattern you've laid down when it comes to weeping. We ought not weep over selfishness, although sometimes we do. But God, give us that strength to know what you would have us to do in this area called weeping. Lord, it is okay for us to weep, but help us, Lord, just make sure the biblical balance is there. There's somebody here tonight that's not saved. We need to pray for them, Lord, and weep over them that they might get saved. Maybe it's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, but I pray that that man, woman, boy, or girl would be saved. Maybe it's a loved one that we have. Maybe we ought to come before you. You said if we go down sowing, Lord, and bearing precious seed, we'll doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves if we sow with tears. And so, Lord, help us with a regulation of our tears to know how we ought to weep and what we ought to weep over. Thank you for loving us. Dismiss us with your blessings. And we thank you and love you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Pastor Wyatt's going to come up. He's got our announcements. Amen. And don't forget.